Bhagavad Gita is a book of mankind's collected experience of and answers to life's most basic questions. Who I am? From where do I come? What is my purpose and destiny? And most practically, how do I find happiness? These podcasts originate in the lectures of Neil Bhatt, a disciple of Swami Chinmayananda. They are presented here in 20 to 30 minute segments, each covering three of the Gita's 701 verses. Welcome to Gita Wisdom for Daily Living.
We have been discussing chapter 9. And what we have learned is that Bhagavan said, I am the source of all the things, all the beings, everything that you see. I am the source and I am also the final resting place for all things. Things come out of me and they will rest back into me. There is nothing really that can exist without me. As we said in that classical example, that a ghost cannot exist without the post. So from the post point of view, post can say the ghost came out of me, and once you realize there is no ghost, it also goes back into me. At any given time, the post has no modifications, or it never changed into ghost. But my ignorance and my perception has created this perception of a ghost. In a similar way, Bhagavan says, from me the whole Prakriti comes into existence. This world of plurality, as you see, is because of my existence. If I am not there, there is no world of plurality. This world, as we know, is I and the world only exist because the fundamental basic reality is the self. I know I exist because of myself. You know you exist because of yourself. She knows she exists because of herself. But we think there's are different selves. Bhagavan says it's just me, myself reflecting through all of them. But we don't recognize it because of moga asa, but vain desires, that I am the center of my universe. The world needs to revolve around my desires. I want things to be like this. I want the world to be like this. I want market to do this when I invest. Moga karmana, therefore we do the wrong actions. Because I have now considered this limited being as me, and now I have my false desires, we know we have very little power how things work in this world. But when we act, we forget that. We know that even I can buy a gallon of milk. If so many people do so many things to bring that gallon of milk into your nearest Martin's or Food Lion, then only you can go and buy. But I think that if I have $4 in my pocket, I'm the king and can buy that milk. That moga asa create this false notion that I am in control. And Bhagavan says, moga gnana vicheta saha. Because of this false knowledge that this is me, and I can change this world as I want, create this false notion of my control. The rakshasim asurim chaiva. These people are of the nature of rakshasa and asura. Raksa means one who is predominated by the rajasic nature. We have seen in Vedanta that there is nothing can exist in this world of time and space if it does not have the three qualities of sattva, rajas and tamas. Fundamental classifications of what are the basic qualities for any effect to exist in time and space. You need to have the sattva, which is that awareness that this exists, the activity, the intense activity we see at the atomic level, subatomic level, or even at the level of our that it exists, and then tamasa, the inertia, for the thing to remain in its state as long as it can, till the other force changes it to a different phase. He said that one with the most rajasic predominance are the rakshasas, because they consider that this activity of theirs will give them the control over their world. And the asuras are the tamasic, the one with the predominant quality, which is tamas. They rely on the inertia. If I don't do anything, things won't change. Status quo. Let's keep things as is. Don't change it. Not realizing the nature of this world is samsara, samsarati. Constantly changing is samsara. In that samsara, I try to keep things inert, as is. So the nature of asura. These two qualities makes us forget the real nature of the self. In contrast to that, Mahatman astumam partha devim prakritim asritaha. But the other group of people who do not fall into these two group of people, who are rajasic and tamasic, and they are constantly are interested only this existence as I see, the material existence, my physical existence, and say, my goal of life is to maintain this existence and have as much pleasure for this world as possible. Not realizing that this is a temporary existence in time and space, but my real existence is infinite, permanent, immutable, or in the nature of the self. The other group of people who are Mahatman, they are great souls, simply because they have realized the nature of the self. So it's a Mahatmanastumam partha daivim prakritim asritaha, because they are taken refuge into the divine nature of the self, which is to recognize the sattva, the truth, that eternal truth which does not change with time. Everything in this world is relative truth. Somebody says, what is it? I say, it's a day outside. Well, that's a relative truth. For now it is true. It was not true at 4 o'clock in the morning. It will not be true at 8 o'clock at night. It is true only now, in this time. You know? So it's called a relative truth. But the truth which remains constant in any period of time is called sattva, which I can say it was this 150 years ago, it is now, and it will be for eternity. That's the universal truth, the sattva. Those who take taken refuge into this awareness of that immutable truth, which is the nature of the self. Myself is not this limited being which has started its life on day one, or time T1 when I was born, and I'll die as time T2. And I want to make the most out of this life between this span of T1 and T2. Are those the asuras and rakshasa? One who says, well, this is just a flicker in my existence. My existence is infinite before, will be infinite after. I want to achieve that sense back, not get bogged down with this limited being, the Mahatma, the great souls. They were identified not with the limited self, but with the higher self. As the example I have used many times because I'm an architect, the space in this room is a conditioned space. Right now my association with this space is room space, conditioned by these walls and floor and ceiling. But I also recognize that this space is universal space. It is always here. It is here and it will be here, whether this building will be there or not. The one who recognizes that myself will always be here, whether his body is there, mind is there, or intellect is there or not. They are the great soul. Therefore, they have taken refuge in the Daivim Prakriti, this sattva, predominantly sattvic in nature. They recognize the ultimate truth about their own self. Bhajanti ananya manasaha. Therefore, they devote themselves to me with a single-pointed mind. Now, obviously, their word connotations come from our own experiences in life. Bhajanti, so with that kirtan, kirtal and all that, you know, bhajanti. Ananya manasaha, satatam. So constantly they are, well, but that's not possible. But we know that the Vedantic connotation of word bhajanti means love for divine is devotion. Love is nothing but identification. More I identify with someone, my love increases. More I identify with the divine, my devotion raises. So, ananya manasaha, without any other thought, without any other thought that this is me. I'm not this, I'm not this, I'm not this. I'm not an architect, I'm not a father, I'm not a son. All these are superimposition on me. Amitabh Bachchan never forgets when he does the coolie. He's not a coolie. He knows. He is Amitabh Bachchan. Never ever he forgets while doing all these roles he plays. I do play all these roles, but I forget and I get identified with it. And I get carried away with it. Mahatma never gets carried away. So bhajantim ananya manasaha. Gnatva bhut adim avyayam. Knowing that I am the source of all the beings, imperishable. We typically see that the source gets destroyed into, we take a seed and seed becomes a tree, that seed is no more there. Now I can say, okay, now I want the seed back. You can't have it. That's a perishable source of the tree. Bhagavan said, but I am the source of this universe, all the beings, but imperishable. Never get destroyed. Why? Because the creation is a maya. Post never became ghost. Therefore, it never had to go into any transformation into something else. So once you see the ghost, post doesn't go away. It remains exactly what it was before. The Bhagavan said, knowing that I am the immutable, imperishable source of all the beings, this Mahatmas wants to get back to their original self, the immutable, imperishable self. They drop the identification with the limited. Playing this part very efficiently in this world, but always the identification is with the higher self. Just as Amitabh Bachchan never forgets his Amitabh Bachchan, but he's a coolie at the time, you know. Say, satatam kirtayantaha, mam yatantascha dridavrataha. So now what will be my attitude once I have recognized that this limited being is not me? This life is just a part I am playing for the time being, what I call my life. Before I was born, I existed as the universal being. After that, I'll exist as the universal being. Before this building was built, this space was here. And I can vouch for it because I live here long enough, long before this building was here. This space was here. After the building is built, this room space is here. And someday somebody will decide we can do better use of this land and the building will be gone. But the space will be here. I am here. I was here. And I will be here. That's the eternal truth, Bhagavan says. Say, satatam kirtayantaha. Having known this, so what will be my actions? Satatam, constantly, kirtayantaha. I am singing the glory of that eternal self that I am. My Lord, who functions through me as this limited being. And Swami obviously said, kirtan tu visival, we have a bhajan, you know, next week. So that's the kirtan. That's the only time we do kirtan, bhajan and kirtan. Swamiji, this is the noisy, this song with equally crude and noisy instrument. That's not kirtan. That is kirtan only for that time for your mind to occupy. That is its own place. Because at least that time, my mind is focused into those songs and the verses and what it means. At that time, it is I'm not thinking. And those who do any kind of art, or their mind has to occupy with something. And if it doesn't occupy, then it wanders away. Satatam kirtayantaha. One whose mind is constantly attached to that understanding that I am not this limited self. This universal self is manifesting in this world. There is nothing that can exist in this world without him, and therefore there is no existence for anything else other than that. If God is all-pervading, where are we? If we are here, then he is limited. He cannot be all-pervading. So if he's all-pervading, there is no place for anyone else. All that I see is nothing but his manifestations. So now that constantly when I see anything in this world, the thought at the back of my mind says, that is nothing but the Lord's manifestation. Whether that is good, bad, or ugly. See, we have no problem. We see something very beautiful, nice, and divine. Say, boy, that's God's manifestation. Early morning, sun rises, and we see, oh God. When the dark and evil we see, and still see his presence in him, that's where I'll be satatam kirtayantaha. Then my kirtan, Bhagavan says, is complete. No matter what it is, I know he pervades the entire universe and all the happenings. There is nothing other than him can exist, and therefore there cannot be anything. If there is anything other than him, he is limited and I am limited. Not really much difference. I may be making X number of money and you may be making billions, but it's still limited. It is still a finite limit. Bhagavan is no finite limit, and therefore there cannot be anything. Satatam kirtiyam mam yatatanscha dridavrataha. Constantly striving to stay in that awareness. Dridavrataha. Firmly established in that goal. Because we know that in any kind of endeavors, there will be temptation for me to deviate from that. I have all resolved by coming back from the college that this afternoon I'm doing nothing but studying. My next door classmate will come and say, Neil, nice movie. I'll tell you, this is the last day. If you miss it today, you won't have any chance. And now I'm starting wondering whether should I? And then I'll make up my mind and say, I think it's okay to go for a movie. You know why? Because I can then stay up late at night. These are all actually I have done, so I know. Because I am not a dridavrataha in my studies. So somebody can deviate me from my, so I say dridavrataha, this person, the great soul who has recognized his name, he, no matter what temptation come from this world, he is established in his goal. He is established in his understanding that if God is all-pervading, then nothing that can exist without him. All the good, evil, and bad that I can consider in this world is nothing but his manifestation. Namasyantascha mam bhaktya nitya yukta upasade. Therefore I bow down to that. So, Swami, he always makes jokes about some people, they bow down as if they are going to pull the guru's leg and pull him down. And sometimes we do that. We show our respect, but in our heart, we have no respect. Because everybody is doing it, I don't want to be in. In my heart, I say, I don't know who. Say, namastyanta. Once I know that nothing can exist other than the Lord, mentally I bow down at any of his manifestation that I see. In my admiration that, what a wonderful the world with all these different things. Because of his presence. Namasyantascha mam bhaktya. So this is the bhakti. In the previous verse we have seen is the gnana yagna. Gnatva, that he is everywhere. That's his real nature. The indication of the gnana yoga. Bhakti yoga. Now I'm kirtayanta. Constantly praising his glory. Whatever I see is that the bhakti yoga. And karma yoga. You know, so. Now everything I do is do it for him. So, namasyantascha mam bhaktya nitya yukta upasate. So anything wonderful I see, anything amazing I see in this world, or anything I see, my head bows down. That what a wonderful world you have created. It could not have been possible without you. So I bow down. That's why in our culture the namaste, namat, I bow down to you, is not a physical act, it's a mental submission, you know, surrendering, that without you I couldn't have done this. Even when I achieve something, I wonder, how did I achieve? If had it not been for him, I wouldn't be able to achieve it. So he said, Bhakti Nitya Yukta Upasate, constantly doing this sadhana, that everything I'm doing is possible only because of him. If he does not empower me to do this, he does not make everyone others to do this, this will not be possible. This class would not be possible. I normally come here at about 10 minutes to 10 and there's nobody here. At that time, there is no guarantee we'll have a class or not. It's only when you show up at 10 o'clock, the class is possible. I need to remind me that every Sunday morning, you know, that the class is only possible because of what you do, not because of what I do. So Bhagavan says, Nitya Yukta Upasate. Then continue for every Sunday as long as you can. So, in the last one it says, Gnana Yagnena Cha Apyanye Yajanto Mam Upasate. And it says, the others offer the knowledge sacrifice. Yajanto Mam Upasate, for doing my sadhana. Ekatvena Prathaktvena Bahuda Visvato Mukham. This knowledge that he alone exists in all the beings is the knowledge sacrifice. Now obviously the metaphor used here is the ritual in the Vedic time, because the yajna, and as the Swami says in Mahabharata time, the rituals were the predominantly the culture of the country. We'll do havans and then we offer all this butter and ghee and all that and say, this is not for me. For invoking a deity or propitiating the deity. Once I have this knowledge, I constantly doing this Gnana Yagna. We're offering my ignorance into that. Because the knowledge which I have today is actually is an ignorance. As last time Niraj said, you have to unlearn. Unlearning is as much importance as learning. I cannot have the understanding that the God is all-pervading and pervading through me as long as I still have this notion I exist as this unique individual as me. These two cannot exist at the same time. I cannot be all-pervading in my chair and somebody else also sitting here. As long as there is nobody here in my chair, I'm all-pervading in this chair. As long as I give up the notion that I, the limited being, does not exist, I cannot appreciate his all-pervading nature of his. This unlearning of my limited ego is I'm sacrificing into this knowledge sacrifice. To gain the knowledge of his self, I sacrifice my limited ego. So, Gnana Yagnena Chapanne Yajanto Mam Upasate. Constantly the thought is that I as a limited being does not exist without his presence, you know. Ekatvena Prathaktvena Bahuda Visvato Mukham. And people constantly say, yeah, but how do I recognize that all these beings are existing, they're also his nature? I actually asked Swamiji a question many years ago. In 85, I asked Swami Chinmayananda that question. You know, this question answers question, I wrote it down. Say, Swami, you are saying that this world is a projection of my mind. Then how can I see the same sun and same moon as my wife sees and my friend sees? At the same time, we all agree, the sun is there. And Swamiji's answer was, my son, when you and your wife are having a romantic evening in your dream, and you both are seeing in your dream a moon, which moon are you seeing? Your dream wife and your dream self are seeing them. Aren't you both seeing the same moon? Yes. Same way you and I are in the same dream, watching the same reality. So Bhagavan says, Ekatvena Prathaktvena. Seeing all the different beings, but he is the one who is reflecting through all. Bahuda Visvato Mukham. is facing this universe in all sides. Wherever I see him. He is not limited by the direction. You know, we have heard that when Nanak went to Kaaba, and he was lying there with his feet towards the Kaaba, the Maulvi came and said, "What are you doing, you idiot? You should not have your feet towards the Kaaba." And Nanak said, "Okay, then move my feet where the Kaaba is not." And as the folklore goes, the Maulvi moves the leg. Wherever he moves the leg, he sees the Kaaba in that direction. Point is, if I think the Bhagwan is not in a north direction, only in the south direction, then Bhagwan is limited. So everywhere I see, whatever I see, what directions I see, is all his manifestation. Ekatvena prasaktvena. I see one in this many. Wherever I see him, is the way the Mahatmas see him in their Gnana Yajna.
Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhina. Sarve Santu Niramayaha. Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu. Ma Kaschid Dukkha Bhag Bhavet. Om Shantihi. 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 Harihi Om. Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.